Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and there is Zekhus Bab Metzia, Daf Kuf Hei, the ninth, Perek HaMakabel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that one who leased a field with a fixed rental, but did not want to weed it while the crop was growing, telling the owner he will get the same rental amount anyway, in Chominlo, we do not listen to him because the owner can respond, Lamacha to Yotz Mimena, tomorrow, you're going to leave after the lease ends, Lamalas Lufana Yasavim, and the field will grow weeds for me instead of crops. The Gemara explains that even if the tenant offers to plow after the harvest, destroying the weeds, or even offers to purchase high-quality wheat from the market, the owner can demand quality wheat from his own field. Even if he offers to weed a section of the field sufficient to produce the rental amount, the owner can say, you're bringing a shame ra, a bad name to my land, which people will think produces weeds. The Gemara objects that the Mishnah says the owner's insistence is because of a concern about weeds growing, and therefore explains that he can say, "Reserve the nafa nafa, a weed seed which fell. And may grow in a later year, despite plowing." Point number two, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai said, "L'tfilah u'tfilin arba kabin." For prayer and tefillin, the definition of a burden is four kabin. Regarding tefillah, Brisa teaches that if one is carrying a burden, and the time for tefillah arrives, if it's less than four kabin, mapshilin l'acharav u'mispalel, he may throw it behind him and daven with it on his back, because its negligible weight will not disturb his concentration. But if it weighs four kabin, he must place it on the ground and daven. Regarding tefillin, Abraisa teaches that if one was carrying a burden on his head while wearing tefillin, then if they're being crushed, he must remove the burden, but if not, it's permitted. This burden is defined as four kabin. Another Abraisa teaches that if one is carrying compost on his head, he should not move his tefillin to the side of his head, nor tie them around his waist, which is disrespectful. Rather, he should tie them on his arm next to his arm tefillin. Rabbi Shiel's yeshiva taught that one cannot even place a wrap of his tefillin on his head together with his tefillin. And Abai explains they prohibit even a 1/16 of litra of pupendisa. And point number three, the Mishnah states that if one leased a field for a fixed rental and the crop was destroyed by locusts or powerful winds, imakas medinahi, if it's a general calamity, menachlo min chachoro, he may deduct from his rental according to the scale of damage. If the damage was local, he cannot deduct from his rent because the owner can claim the damage on the tenant's bad fortune. Yehuda says that if the rent was to be paid in cash, he could not deduct from the rent, even if it was a Makas Medina. Rav Yehuda defines a Makas Medina as such, where most of this valley was damaged by wind. Ula says that even if just the four fields adjoining the rented field were damaged, it's considered a Makas Medina. In Eretz Yisrael, several questions were asked. What if only a single row of each adjoining field was damaged? Or if all except one row in each field was damaged? What if the immediate surrounding fields were left fallow or had aspasta, plants or fodder, or another grain, which was not damaged, but surrounding fields were damaged? So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, the one who leased a field with a fixed rental, but did not want to weed it while the crop was growing, telling the owner he'll get the same rental amount anyway, ain't showing what. We do not listen to him because the owner can respond, L'machar ata yotz mimena, tomorrow you're going to leave after the lease ends, umalas lefana yasavi, and the field will grow weeds for me instead of crops. The Gemara explains that even if the tenant offers to plow after the harvest, destroying the weeds, or even offers to purchase high-quality wheat from the market, the owner can demand quality wheat from his own field. Even if he offers to weed a section of the field sufficient to produce the rental amount, the owner can say, you're bringing a shame ra, a bad name to my land, which people will think produces weeds. The Gemara objects that the Mishnah says the owner's insistence is because of a concern about weeds growing, and therefore explains that he can say, reserve the nafa nafa, a weed seed which fell. And may grow in a later year, despite plowing. Point number two, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai said, "L'tfilah u'tfilin arba kabin." For prayer and tefillin, the definition of a burden is four kabin. Regarding tefillah, Brisa teaches that if one is carrying a burden, and the time for tefillah arrives, if it's less than four kabin, mapshilin l'acharav u'mispalel, he may throw it behind him and daven with it on his back, because its negligible weight will not disturb his concentration. But if it weighs four kabin, he must place it on the ground and daven. Regarding tefillin, Abraisa teaches that if one was carrying a burden on his head while wearing tefillin, then if they're being crushed, he must remove the burden, but if not, it's permitted. This burden is defined as four kabin. Another Abraisa teaches that if one is carrying compost on his head, he should not move his tefillin to the side of his head, nor tie them around his waist, which is disrespectful. Rather, he should tie them on his arm next to his arm tefillin. Rabbi Shiel's yeshiva taught that one cannot even place a wrap of his tefillin on his head together with his tefillin. And Abai explains they prohibit even a 1/16 of litra of pupendisa. And point number three, the Mishnah states that if one leased a field for a fixed rental and the crop was destroyed by locusts or powerful winds, imakas medinahi, if it's a general calamity, menachlo min chachoro, he may deduct from his rental according to the scale of damage. If the damage was local, he cannot deduct from his rent because the owner can claim the damage on the tenant's bad fortune. Yehuda says that if the rent was to be paid in cash, he could not deduct from the rent, even if it was a Makas Medina. Rav Yehuda defines a Makas Medina as such, where most of this valley was damaged by wind. Ula says that even if just the four fields adjoining the rented field were damaged, it's considered a Makas Medina. In Eretz Yisrael, several questions were asked. What if only a single row of each adjoining field was damaged? Or if all except one row in each field was damaged? What if the immediate surrounding fields were left fallow or had aspasta, plants or fodder, or another grain, which was not damaged, but surrounding fields were damaged? All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Kuf Hey, and our standard Simon is a hacker. A hacker, so here goes. The hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed the field had a strange practice of wearing his less than 4 cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin and insisted that he has the right to deduct the damage to the field caused by a windstorm from the rent because it was a Makas Medina. Once again, slow motion. The hacker, that must be one Duff Kuf Hey. The hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed the field, which reminds us, the next mission states that one who leased a field with a fixed rental but did not want to weed it while the crop was growing, telling the owner he'll get the same rental amount anyway, ain't showing what we do not listen to him because the owner can respond, tomorrow you're going to leave after the lease ends, malus lefanei asavim, and the field will grow weeds for me instead of crops. So the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed the field had a strange practice of wearing his less than 4 cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin, which reminds us, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai said, L'tefil u'tefillin arba kabin. For prayer and tefillin, the definition of a burden is 4 kabin. Regarding tefillin, a brisa teaches that if one was carrying a burden on his head while wearing tefillin, then if they are being crushed, he must remove the burden. But if not, it's permitted. This burden is defined as 4 kabin. So the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed his field had a strange practice of wearing his less than 4 cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin and insisted that he has the right to deduct the damage to the field caused by a windstorm from his rent because it was a Makas Medina, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that if one leased a field for a fixed rental and the crop was destroyed by locusts or powerful winds, he Makas Medina, if it's a general calamity, menachalo min chakoro, he may deduct from his rental according to the scale of damage. If the damage was local, he could not deduct from his rent because the owner can blame the damage on the tenant's bad fortune. So once again, the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed the field had a strange practice of wearing his less than 4 cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin and insisted that he has the right to deduct the damage to the field caused by a windstorm from his rent because it was a Makas Medina. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazara. Daf Kuf Aleph. So the Siman Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller, that must be more in Duff, Kuf Aleph, caw, caw. The bird caller who snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status of having passed the oral prohibition period, and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees, if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier, would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral prohibition passes? So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river, and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare Kuf Aleph bird, expecting to be paid. Which reminds us, Gemara says, Yordo toch sando chavero, v'nata shobur oshus. If one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says, they assess his expenses and the improvement's value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says, they assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Rapapa clarifies that there's no argument. Shmuel is discussing a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare Kuf Aleph bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter, which reminds us the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are lehodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter when it's difficult to find other housing unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave. Cave? That must be on Daf Kuf Beis. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out. Since Chatzer Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that if one rents his house to another, the zevil, the manure found in the courtyard, belongs to the landlord. The Gemara explains that the case is with the landlord's courtyard, which he did not rent out, as Rashi explains, and cows which came from elsewhere were standing in it. Since the cow's owners, presumably, were mafkir the zevil, the landlord acquires it with his chatzer. The Gemara notes that this supports the ruling of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Chatzer Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito, a person's chatzer acquires for him without his knowledge. So the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since Chatzer Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKein, which reminds us Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's ruling is challenged from a brice which teaches that doves of a dovecote are subject to the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKein and are prohibited midrabbanan to be taken by others because of Darchei Shalom. According to Rabbi Yossi, the egg should be acquired by the chatzer and be pater for Shiluch HaKein because the pasuk says ki yikra, if a bird's nest happens, prat l'mezumen, which excludes a nest which is at hand. Rabbi answers, an egg becomes obligated in shiluch when its majority leaves the mother's body, but it's not acquired by one's chatzer until it falls into its courtyard. It's during this interim that the braisa says the eggs are subject to shiluch hakein. So the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since Chatzer Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKein, had come to collect half the 13 months' rent, since he had rented it at the rate of 12 dinarim per year, 1 dinar per month, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one rented at a house for a year and a leap year was declared, adding a 13th month, the tenant does not pay extra. If it was rented per month, he must pay for the additional month. The Mishnah concludes with a story which the Gemara explains to reflect a new case of a rate of 12 gold dinarim for a year, 1 gold dinar per month, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi ruled to divide the extra month's payment. Three opinions are recorded about this ruling. Kuf Gimel. So the Siman Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook, Yerushalmi Kugel, that must mean one Daf Kuf Gimel. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook, who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar, and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, which reminds us what Nachman said, that if one rents out his house for 10 years and wrote an undated shtar for the tenant, certifying the term of the lease, and later claims that the tenant already lived there for 5 years, while the tenant claims he only lived there for 3, the landlord is believed, since his property is always in his possession, the tenant must prove his right to 7 more years, despite his holding a shtar for verifying his 10-year lease. So the Yerushalmi Kugel cook, who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar, and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain, according to the Minhag Medina, which reminds us the ninth parak begins, Hamakabel Sada Mechevera, one who leases a field from his fellow, either as an aris, where he each takes a percentage of the crop, or as a hocher, where the farmer pays a fixed amount of produce. In a place where farmers customarily cut the crops, he cuts them. If they customarily uproot them, he uproots them. If they customarily plow the field after harvesting, he plows it. Hakol Minhag Medina. Everything follows the local custom. So the Yerushalmi cook, who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar, and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain, according to the Minhag Medina, when he noticed that the stream which irrigated the field and provided water for him to cook the noodles had dried up, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one leased a field which was irrigated by a stream, or included a fruit tree providing additional produce without effort, if the stream dried up or the tree was cut down, he does not deduct from his rent because of the loss. However, if the tenant originally said, lease me this irrigated field, or this field containing a tree, indicating that the rate he was paying was because of these benefits, then he does deduct from his rental if the stream dries up or the tree is cut down. Daf Kuf Dalet. So the Siman Daf Kuf Dalet is code. So here goes. The renter who used the code, that must be more Daf Kuf Dalet. The renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a tenant said, lease me beis ha-shlachin zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. The Gemara asked that the landowner should be able to say, Shema ba'ama amri lach, I only said it to you as a name, meaning that he called it an irrigated field simply because it was commonly referred to that way, but not as a stipulated term for the rental. Shmuel answered the Mishnah's cases where the tenant spoke to the owner, so the request for an irrigated field is to be taken literally. Ravina gave a different answer. So the renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, which reminds us, the Gemara records an incident in which a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left one-third of it fallow. The Nardin said he must pay a third of this amount, but Rava said, this is an asmakta, a commitment made without expecting to keep it, which is not binding. In this case, because he committed to an extraordinary penalty, guzma ba'amahu de kagazim, he's merely exaggerating. So the renter used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, was renting the field with iska money he received from an investor, which was half loan, half deposit, which reminds us, the Nardin said, hi iska, the merchandise of an iska business arrangement, where one partner provides the capital and the other manages the investment, is considered half a loan and half a deposit, so any losses are divided evenly, which the rabbis instituted as agreeable to both parties. They concluded that since half is a loan, if the manager wishes to drink beer by selling his half of the merchandise instead of investing it, he may. Rava disagrees. This is the reason they call it an iska, literally an involvement, so the investor can tell the manager, when I gave it to you, it was to be involved with it for the investment and not to drink beer with its proceeds. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you have a question of? If someone planted a tree in someone else's field without rishus, whether you can be paid in full, that's on duff. Kufal. Good. Number two, which stuff do we discuss what the halacha is when a tenant does not want to weed the field, that's on duff. Kufhei. Good. Number three, which stuff to discuss a property lease where the parties dispute how much time of the shtar has passed, that's on duff. Kufgimel. Good. Number four, which stuff to discuss what the halacha is if a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left one third of it fallow, does he have to pay, that's on duff. Kufdal. Good. Number five, which stuff to discuss if one leases a field from his friend, either as an aris or a hocher, everything goes according to the minhag of Medina, that's on duff. Kuf Gemel. Good. Number six. Which stuff they learn the difference between paying for stolen hektish and chulin for a cake of pressed dates? That's on duff. Tzadi Tes. Good. Number seven. Which stuff they learn for tefillah and tefillin the definition of a burden is four kabin? That's on duff. Kuf Hey. Good. Number eight. Which stuff they learn if someone said, lease me beis ha-shlachin zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up? That's on duff. Kufdal. Good. Number nine. Which stuff then that one who leased a field and the crop was destroyed by wind or locust can deduct from his rent because it was a Makkah's Medina? That's on duff. Kufhei. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do Malchus if a borrower acquires an item such as a hatchet with usage or meshicha? That's on duff. Tzadi Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.